I have two beautiful friends named John and Jocelyn Rice, and I was able to be the priest that married them last spring. John is probably the closest thing I have to a nephew, and I have known him since he was in second grade and I was a freshman in college. John's father, Dr. Rice, was the faculty advisor to the fraternity I joined, so I met Bob and his family, John, and then all of the other six siblings as well as they would come along. I met Jocelyn when she and John started dating towards the end of their time in college. Last year, around this time, I remember being on the phone with them in the evening on December 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, right before they were going to tell her parents that they were going to be grandparents. The problem, as you may have picked up from the short timeline I just laid out, is that this was December, and their wedding wouldn't be until the spring. Now you're catching on. I was on the phone with them offering spiritual support and trying to calm their nerves before they went into what we knew would be a very difficult conversation. As I reflected over the next couple of weeks as everything was unfolding in their lives, I was struck by the fact that it happened to be the Feast of the Immaculate Conception as they were going to be discussing their unplanned conception. While I am not condoning the premarital actions that led to this predicament, I was struck by the fact that Jocelyn was going to experience Advent very close to the heart of Mary. In an odd way, those families that experience less than planned pregnancies do have something in common with the Holy Family. The original Advent was kicked off by the angel Gabriel announcing an unplanned pregnancy as well. John and Jocelyn had to endure many awkward situations, just as I imagine Joseph and Mary did. Judgmental looks from associates, uncertainty how the Lord was going to reconcile this, the fear of having to tell their parents. We do know from the scriptures that even saintly Joseph didn't believe Mary at first until he was convinced by an angel in a dream that this conception was indeed miraculous. But I started to wonder what it was like for Mary and Joseph to have to tell their family and friends. If even Joseph was incredulous, I can only imagine how Mary's parents must have felt. Their daughter, whom they personally delivered to the temple from a very early age so she would remain pure, had somehow sullied herself with an affair before marriage. I'm sure they were tempted to think such things. As I walked with John and Jocelyn through this interesting and stressful time in their lives, it served as the basis for a lot of my Advent meditation, pulling out the human aspects of what Mary and Joseph endured. This time of uncertainty, this time of waiting, this time of anxious expectation. What was the Lord going to do to iron out all these wrinkles in his plan of salvation? And yet, with confidence from the Lord, Mary and Joseph continued to wait upon the Lord and see how he would make everything perfect. Uncertainty, waiting, anxious expectation. This is what embodies the first reading. The desperation in the voice of the prophet is palpable. He is begging the Lord to act on behalf of the people of Israel. They are even willing to give up their free will so that they no longer sin, just so the Lord would save them. Why do you let us wander, O Lord? Rend the heavens and come down. They are asking him to rip open the veil between heaven and earth so that his glory cannot be denied. Doesn't Jesus fulfill this promise, this prophecy? First, he tears through the barrier of the heavenly and earthly realm as he sends the angel Gabriel to Mary. Her yes and her prayer of acceptance allows Jesus to no longer be hidden in heaven, for finally, the Messiah, the long-awaited one, is revealed. Next, he further blurs the lines between heaven and earthly realms on the mountain during his transfiguration, when he shows just exactly who he is. Finally, the temple veil is torn as the Lord is ripped out of this world through death, only to reappear gloriously after having conquered death by death. And finally, he peels back the heavens and ascends easily back to the Father, for the last time rending the heavens. Jesus is a constant fulfillment of prophecy. In the gospel, the Lord directs us to be vigilant and to watch. He says this four times in only four verses of Scripture, so we had better pay attention. But the gospel by itself lacks context in just four verses. It's hard to gauge what the Lord is asking us to wait for. So for that, we use the secret decoder ring found in the second reading. Paul speaks about the effects of grace in our lives and that it is to prepare us for the Lord's coming and to help us anticipate it better. He says, "I give thanks to my God always on your account for the grace of God bestowed on you in Christ Jesus, that in him you were enriched in every way." So first, the grace of the Lord prepares us in a special way to be open to the Lord's grace and to his coming. Second, it confirms us in grace and gives us the virtue of perseverance to be faithful to him till the end of our lives. Paul writes, "He will keep you firm to the end." So we are prepared and preserved by the grace from the Lord. Mary and Joseph were recipients of this grace from the Lord as well. They were prepared for their son's coming by grace, and they persevered to the end also by grace. As St. Paul says, everything is grace. So here we are again at the beginning of Advent. John and Jocelyn's son is a beautiful and healthy four-month-old. This year, they get to experience the joy of their child during Advent instead of the stress they did last year. And here we are again, beginning Advent for maybe the 50th, 60th, or 80th time. We have experienced the birth of Christ and the feast of Christmas so many times, it can be boring to us. But the Lord directs us clearly to stay vigilant and not let it pass by us. Rather than be bored by the holidays and ready for Christmas to be over on December 26th, ask the Lord to prepare your heart in a special way this year. Take some extra spiritual practice to contemplate the Lord's infancy, in the hopes that this year for Christmas, you receive the grace of the Lord in a different way than you ever have before.